Our reading is taken from Mark chapter 1 and beginning to read at verse 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God that speaks. Thank you that we can hear your voice now. Lord, though, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to you this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what we're about to hear is an internet sensation that has caused disputes in families, with friends, and maybe possibly in your workplace. It's created a real division, so I hope it doesn't hear this afternoon. So, let's have a hear.
Larry. 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 Larry.
No, stop. There you go. You might think, what on earth was that about? Well, what's caused the division is that it's the same sound, but people hear a different word. I don't know, what do you hear? Anyone, what do you hear?
Laurel.
What? Okay, you hear Laurel. Anyone else?
Laurel.
Yes? Yanni? James?
Yummy.
Yummy, maybe? Maybe yummy?
Depends how you use it.
Okay, maybe it's how you hear or use it. Well, what it is that people say you either hear Yanni or Laurel. Yanni or Laurel. Everyone I've spoken to hears one and can't believe anyone else can hear anything different. Well, let's try another word this afternoon. Let's hear this word. Jesus. Jesus. What do you hear when you hear that name? Well, that's whether you're a Christian or not, okay? Do you hear religion? Do's and do nots. Do you hear respectable, some inspiring teacher? Do you hear ridiculous? It's just make-believe of giants and wizards and, I don't know, magic and fairies. Or do you think it's just really boring? What you have in mind is a man with a long white dress, with long hair, telling you how to live a boring life. Maybe it's that. Well, how about this? Really good news. Really good news. The best thing that you've ever heard. Well, whatever comes to mind when you hear the name Jesus, we're going to hear five voices. They are telling us what they hear when they speak of Jesus, as they authenticate who he is. Maybe this is something that you'll hear for the first time. If so, when you do come to hear Jesus, maybe this will make you love and serve him as you serve him as Lord. Or maybe you've known this for a long time, but you've become distracted or wearied. Or hopefully this afternoon, as you hear about the Lord Jesus, And then you will know why you serve him as you give him your all. Well, these voices, they deal with two things, or two questions as it were. How big a deal is Jesus? And who is Jesus? So there are two questions that we're going to constantly come back to over this afternoon. Throughout October, we've had many people come and talk about and proclaim the great message that Christianity is. And they make big, bold claims about who Jesus is. Well, considering everything that we've heard over the last 3 weeks, this afternoon, we're going to see why we should take the claims of Jesus seriously and then how we should then respond. So the first thing then I want us to see is this, is that Jesus is the Good News King. Verse 1, Jesus is the Good News King. Now, I don't know if you ever played the game Guess Who, you know, where you have the board game and you have all the characters all on little kind of tiles, as it were. And you'd ask questions like, oh, does your one have a moustache? Or does your one wear a hat? And as you narrow down the options, you finally kind of work out who the other player has on their card. Well, the first 8 chapters of Mark's Gospel is a bit like this, as you figure out who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Well, I have to say, for the disciples anyway, for us it's made slightly easy because Mark tells us straight away who Jesus is in the first sentence of his Gospel. I mean, look with me at verse 1. It says this, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. I said we're going to listen to 5 voices, and this is our first one. That is Mark, the writer of the Gospel, himself. And he's excited. He's excited to talk about Jesus. No way does he find him boring. And that deals with our first question, which is, how big a deal is Jesus? Well, he's massive. As I said, he sees it as exciting news. And he goes on to tell us why. You see, if you've ever wondered, well, how can I talk about like the Gospel? I don't know how to explain it, what it is about. Well, start with Jesus' name. I mean, do you know the meaning of your name? I don't know if you do or don't. I wonder if you live up to the meaning of your name, though. Because Jesus does. Jesus does. His name means salvation. That is good news, that the rescuer is here. What from? Well, we'll see later. So the first thing is to say, Jesus means salvation. The second one is Messiah. There's a Messiah, actually it's the same word for Christ. So Christ isn't Jesus' surname, it's actually a title. It's actually a title, like Prime Minister or like President. And the word Christ or Messiah, it means King. It basically means King, the one who rules over everything. The entire universe forever. Forever. And look with me at verse 1, it says the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. Not a Messiah. But the Messiah, the ultimate Messiah, the ultimate King of everything, who's going to administer God's rule here on earth. This is good news. Good news that Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is the Messiah, the rescuer King. But what else do we have? Well, the third thing is that we see Jesus is the Son of God. This is a divine title. Mark is saying that Jesus has come down not to see what's going on or to say hello, but he's come with a mission. Only through Jesus can we be brought back to God. This is ultimately the good news. This is it. Maybe you're feeling a bit underwhelmed by that. Maybe you think, what? Is that it? Well, whether you're Christian or not, maybe that's because you've forgotten. Or you don't know this good news. That Jesus, you need him. You need him as your rescuer King. So this takes us to our second thing then, is that Jesus is the long-awaited King. Verses 2 to 8. Jesus is the long-awaited King. For you, I don't know, what has started getting you thinking about Christmas? Only last week, my brain has, believe it or not, started to think about Christmas, with only 57 days to go. What got me going was Tesco. Thank you, Tesco. It's because they have their Stollen and their other Christmas goodies already out on the shelves, which means that Christmas is fast approaching. And so our second voice, well, that talks about Jesus, is very much like the Stollen, okay, that you find in the supermarket stores. And it's not getting us ready for the arrival of Christmas, but actually for Jesus. And we'll be looking at these voices now in verses 2 to 3. as you look at these voices from verses 2 to 3, where are they from? They're both Old Testament prophets. Okay, Old Testament prophets, Malachi and Isaiah. Do you remember those two questions I said to keep hold of? Which is, what is the big deal about Jesus? And who is he? Malachi tells us why Jesus is a big deal. He says this, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A bit like the Queen. She does not turn up unannounced, does she? There's often, or always, a squad of police bikes up ahead, clearing the way. Well, Malachi says the messenger has come to do the same thing. Then we have Isaiah. And Isaiah says who this way is being made kind of clear for. Look with me in verse 3, it says this. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Who is the way being made clear for? Well, it is the Lord. See, Jesus is a big deal because of who he is. That is Lord. That is the Lord God. Well, 700 years after the prophet Isaiah, John the Baptist comes along and introduces this long-awaited king. That is the Lord. Look at me, it says in verse 3, calling in the wilderness. And where do we find John in verse 4? Well, he's in the wilderness. And what seals the deal about who John is, as the messenger that is his dress code. Did you notice it in verse 6? It's a bit odd, isn't it? It says, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And I have to say, the Bible doesn't normally describe people's kind of dress sense, as it were. But John's fashion, okay, is rather odd today as it was even then. And that is because this dress code is of an Old Testament prophet called Elijah. And that's who Malachi has said, who will come before the Lord arrives. Again, it's a bit like that squad of police bikes. They have arrived. That means that the royal visitor isn't far behind. So John the Baptist is the messenger who's come to announce the imminent arrival of the king. So John now is our third voice. And his job is to prepare people for the arrival of the Lord. And what does that look like? Well, verse 4. Preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Sin is the barrier that we all put up. That we all put up against God. We don't want him in charge. We want to run our own lives the way we want to. That is the God who's made us. That is the God who keeps everything going. That is the God who loves us. And that leaves us, I'd say, in a very serious situation when we come face to face with him. Very serious. Because we will face God's rightful and fierce anger at us. And so John calls us to repent. That is to change your way, and then you'll be forgiven by God for your wrong or your sin. And the sign, what is given? Well, the sign is baptism. And see who's attracted by this hard message in verse 5. The whole Judean countryside, all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. They know that he is the messenger. That means the long-awaited king. Well, he isn't far behind. They all want to get ready. They all want to get ready for his arrival. How about you? Are you eager? Are you eager to be ready when you meet the Lord face to face? Well, for John, though, there's one problem. It's this. What he's doing, he knows, doesn't do the job. But he says that there is someone who's coming who can. And we see that in verse 7. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Baptism by John, well, it's a sign. It's a sign of a fresh start. But that's all it is. John, this sign, it can clean you on the outside. So it can wash the dirt and the dust off your clothes and out of your hair. But that is it. That is it. What is needed is someone to come along and deal with the heart of the problem. to clean it, to renew our attitude within. That is our desire, our inbuilt character that is stained by sin. And John says that there is someone who can do this. We sin and seen it in verse 7. After me comes the one more powerful than I. And why is this person powerful? What is he able to do that John can't? Well, verse 8. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This person that John is pointing towards has come with power to deal with our addiction to sin. That cuts us off from God. And the power, well, that he gives is the Holy Spirit. But for now, John and all the people who have come out to meet him have to wait for the arrival of this king. Well, the third thing that we see is this. Jesus is the divine king. Verses 9 to 13. Jesus is the divine king. As a child, I don't know if you've ever been kind of got involved with a dad contest. My dad is better than your dad. Those sorts of things. Well, my brother Martin did when he was a kid. In infant school, they were having an argument or a debate. And my dad works for BT, one would say. Well, my dad works for the bank. And my brother said this. My brother Martin said, well, my dad is a bank robber. And all the children were so shocked that they went to the teacher and said, oh, Martin's dad's a bank robber. And the teacher went to Martin and said, is this true? And Martin said, yes, it's totally true. My dad is a bank robber. Well, before the teacher called the police, she called for my mum. And my mum came into school and she explained everything. And she said, well, what my dad used to do was to say, to tell these stories at bedtime about his alter ego, Bill Sykes, the international bank robber and jewel thief. And so my brother heard it and believed it. And thankfully that day, my dad didn't earn a criminal record. But when we come to Jesus, there have been big claims made about him. We've seen that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, and now we have John the Baptist proclaiming him to be the Lord God himself. But are they just made up? A bit like my dad telling tall tales about him being a pretend bank robber. We need someone we can trust then, can't we? We need someone who can trust what they say about Jesus. A bit like my brother's teacher listening to my mum. And this is where we meet our fourth voice. That is God himself. In verse 9, we see that Jesus has come to be baptized by John. And something very weird, but yet amazing, happens. And then verse 10. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Here's Jesus coming out of the water. I can't quite imagine what it might look like. It says that heaven is torn open. Maybe it's a multicolored rays of light coming through a whole rapture of just humongous clouds. I don't know what comes to mind. Maybe that's what comes to my mind. And then we have two unexpected visitors turning up at Jesus' baptism. The first one is God the Holy Spirit. And see how he's described? Well, he's described like a dove. And he's a dove that describes like a dove that descends upon Jesus. This is unlike anyone else in the Bible. That's where the Spirit has just come and kind of rushed upon them. But here, for Jesus, it settles upon him. It rests upon him. Again, unlike anyone else ever. Then we have this great voice from heaven. You can hear it booming. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. This is God the Father. And he calls Jesus my Son. This is the one who perfectly represents God. Father like Son. Again, no one from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, has been called God's Son, with whom God is pleased with. Not one. So by the River Jordan that day, the people would have seen God the Holy Spirit. They would have heard God the Father, and they would have met God the Son. God the Son. And this is known as the Trinity. Each of them equal, equally God. So if you've ever needed someone's reference to back up Jesus' claim on his CV, as it were, to be the divine king, you can't get much bigger than God himself. So we should listen to him. So we should listen to him as he confirms Jesus is the king over everything. No one else is, and no one else should be. Now, many of them coming that day to John the Baptist were coming as sinners to be cleansed and renewed. So why has Jesus been baptized? Is he saying that he is a sinner then? Well, for Jesus, this is like his commissioning service for the great task of his rescue mission ahead. As he undergoes the task, Jesus needs to identify as one of us. That is why he stands with sinners that day in the River Jordan. Not because he needs the forgiveness of sins, as he is the sinless one. We see that in verse 13 as he does battle with Satan. And Jesus, again, is the only human in history who's battled Satan and has come out not giving in to Satan and is victorious over him. Not listening to him, no. Again, the only human who's come out victorious, having done battle with Satan. And so Jesus is baptized, the one who's come to take the place of sinners. And he does that ultimately at the cross. Again, thinking about those two questions. Is Jesus a big deal? Well, from what we've just described at Jesus' baptism, has that ever happened to you? No, never. Jesus is a big deal. And they all confirm who Jesus is, that he is the king who rules over everything. And you might think, oh, all well and good. Well done, Jesus. That sounds all very nice. But what's that got to do with me here, sitting here on these nice, comfortable purple seats this afternoon? Well, this leads us to our fourth point, okay, which is this. Is that Jesus is your king. So listen and follow him. Verses 14 and 15. Jesus is your king. So listen and follow him. And this is our fifth and final voice. That is Jesus himself. Jesus is the messenger. Or he actually has, he has a message for us. And we see that in verse 15. Look at me. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And that wasn't just for those there that day. It was also for you and me here today. So why should we listen to Jesus? Why should we listen to him? Well, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God. This is where God is king. He's the one who's created all things. He holds all things together. This is unlike any nation or power has ever existed here on this earth. There's no comparison. Recently, I met Norma. She's actually from my previous church. And she was a Goldsmith student, believe it or not. But rather than joining the Christian Union, she joined the Communist Party, okay, in the 50s. And I say she was a member there, and she regularly attended their meetings. And they would boast regularly how Buckingham Palace will one day be their headquarters. Now, we might laugh, we might think that's fairly funny, but they took it deadly serious. They thought this will happen. And we can think about great nations of the past, can't we? Maybe the British Empire, the Roman Empire, or how about, you know, great powers of today, like the US of A, you got China. They all seem very impressive and unstoppable. But to God, well, they're only they're only as kind of around as long as, I don't know, a nice summer's day that we had a few days ago in autumn. It just lasts for a day. And it's gone, isn't it? It was nice on Wednesday, but it didn't last long. It went. And so will these powers. So, get rid of the image that you might have of God. You know, this old doddery character with a long white beard sitting on an old throne, defunct in this world. No. No. His kingdom is unrivaled. The future belongs to him. As heaven, hell, and eternity beyond belongs to him. So as we put God's kingdom in the right place, where is it then in verse 15? Well, we see that it is near. It is near because the King of God's kingdom is near, and that is Jesus himself. Jesus is King, and he is your King. It doesn't matter if you think, oh, he doesn't exist, or you don't believe in him, or you disagree with him. It doesn't matter. He is still King over everything. And he will rule over this world. Now, I have to say, obviously, you can't type it into Google Maps. You can't find it on your GPS. And neither does it mean that we it's a call to arms, that we should go and set up a kingdom of God like a country. No. The kingdom of God is not a place that we can go and visit, but it's a way of thinking and acting and listening to Jesus as God's King who rules over everything. Now, to be part of this kingdom, all you need to do is to have Jesus as your King, listening and following him. Now, when we understand this, maybe for the first time, this is what we are to do. We are to listen and respond to his message. And what is his message? Well, it's to repent. I have to say, it's unhelpful to think that repentance is only feeling sorrow for the wrong that you've done. No, repentance is that we've walked away from God. We've walked away, running our lives our way. And to repent, then, is to walk back to God, to change direction, to come back to him. That is a change of mind of what we think about Jesus. Then this will lead to a change of behaviour. We have to get that the right way around, okay? We have to change our thinking about Jesus, then this will change our behaviour. And so, then we are to listen. So that means believing in Jesus isn't a leap of faith. Or it's not waiting for a tingling, spooky kind of feeling, okay? But it's simply to listen to Jesus. To have him as number one in your life. To have him as your King, taking the crown off your head and giving it to Jesus. We can only do this when we believe in the good news. I did this 18 years ago, and as a Christian, every day I do the same. I answer Jesus' call. Because all the time I've been attracted away from Jesus. And so daily I need to repent of my sin and come back to him and believe him, to have him as my King. Do you? So listen to Jesus as your King. Now, I have to say, this message of Christianity is completely different from all other religions. They advise you how to get into God's kingdom. Pray 5 times a day. Make sure you go to this place. Keep God's law. Don't eat this. Go here. Do that. But you know what? It's never enough. It's never enough. And this is where Christianity is good news. Religion says do. But Christianity, the good news, says done. That's what the good news is. What is the good news that we need to believe in then? Well, we finish where we started up in verse 1. Again, look at me in verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus. That is to believe in Jesus. What he has done for you to get you into God's kingdom. Because nothing else will. You can't. You can't deal with your sin that angers God. Remember now. What does Jesus' name mean? It means salvation. It means salvation. Rescuer. And that is what Jesus has come to do. Jesus has come to take the full force of God's anger at our sin instead of us. That happened at the cross, where Jesus died for our sin, removing that barrier that stops us coming into God's kingdom. That is good news. It is not boring. It is a big deal because he is King over everything. So how about you? You call yourself a Christian here today. Do you speak about Jesus as if he is good news to your friends and family? But if you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know. Maybe for A levels, getting an A, actually maybe for you is a bigger news, or getting a first at Goldsmiths. Maybe better news for you could be marrying that girl or man of your dreams. Maybe better news for you is hearing that you've got the job you've worked so hard for. If so, then you haven't understood it. You have not understood this good news. So listen. Listen to these five voices. Mark, who says Jesus is the King. The Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah, who says that Jesus is the Lord God. John the Baptist, who says that he is the King who you've been waiting for to clean you from your sin. God the Father and the Spirit confirming that Jesus is indeed the Son who represents him. And Jesus, who tells you to come and follow him as King. Will you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he is indeed King over everything. Help us to listen to his voice. Help us to listen to your word, that we would recognize him as King of our lives. Help us to then to repent, to turn our lives away from things that dishonor you, or a life that is completely devoid of you, and see that you are our Maker, you are our King. That we would come back to you and believe in you, in Jesus, your Son, and what he has done for us through his death on the cross. Thank you for sending Jesus. And help us to come to him daily, believing in this good news. In Jesus' name, Amen.